The President's toast at a state dinner in honor of Prime Minister Lamas, from the state dining room of the White House, October 15th, 1963.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have attempted to collect together distinguished Americans here to Washington tonight of Irish extraction, like the Chief Justice of the United States, the Majority Whip, Senator Humphrey, Dean Rusk, and others who owe allegiance and emotional attachment to Ireland, if not fortunate enough to be by blood. For the rest of us, this is a particularly happy occasion to welcome tonight the Prime Minister of Ireland, the Foreign Minister, and other members of his government. This is an occasion that's particularly important to us because of the warm welcome which all of us received in Ireland in June, and which I think brought home to us the strong attachment for the United States which is felt in Ireland, which is reciprocated here. John Boyle O'Reilly spoke about a people's fight outliving 1,000 years, but the fact of the matter is that all of us who went to Ireland, who met the Prime Minister and the Foreign Minister, President and others, had a very immediate impression of a fight which was much shorter, but which was even more significant. We have become used in the last decade to welcoming heads of state and others who have participated in the fight for their country's independence. I think when we welcomed the Emperor of Ethiopia, I mentioned the fact that in the last 10 years, 29 states of Africa have gained their independence. This is now a flood. But in the years between World War I and World War II, it was only a drop. And the most significant example, the predecessor of this tremendous parade, which has been the most astonishing fact of post-war life, the most unique example, of course, was Ireland, which blazed the trail, set the example, was the point of the spear, the arrow's head. Almost alone during the period from World War I and World War II, Ireland won her independence. And therefore, we value especially welcoming the Prime Minister, Foreign Minister, and others who played such an important part in that fight. We are not welcoming to the White House tonight those who are the heirs of this fight for independence, as we are in the United States. We are welcoming those who participated very actively, not only they themselves, but also the members of their family. So we're glad, those of us who are Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and those of us who are Irish the other days of the year, which includes everybody in the room, we are very glad to welcome them to the White House, to express our appreciation to them for the past, but most especially for what they're doing now. Because I think it's a source of some satisfaction that Ireland, which after all is a small country, should be playing such a significant role on the world stage. When I was in Ireland, I noticed all of the military personnel, so many of them who wore a blue badge of service in the Congo. Today, there's a battalion of Irish troops in the Congo, very far from home. Ireland is not a major participant in the Cold War struggle as size goes, but it is a fact that in the struggle for peace and order, which is very much the interest of all of us who believe in freedom, Ireland is playing a role beyond her size. So we are honored tonight, Mr. Prime Minister, by your visit, and we are honored particularly because you bring with you, in a sense, the person of your distinguished president. In the course of the visit to Ireland, the president gave what I consider very good advice to all of us who hold office. I had said something about his interest and, in a sense, preoccupation with the Gaelic language at lunch, and that night he said that in negotiating with those with whom you disagree, that if you're subject to flattery, they'll cajole you. If you're weak, they'll use strength against you. And if you're reasonable, they'll reason with you. And in any case, you'll be defeated. So I thought that I I thought that was very good advice. So we're proud to have you here, Prime Minister, as a very active participant in that fight, outliving 1,000 years. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Aiken, members of your families and government, and I hope that all of you will join in drinking with me to a man who has held power and influence in his own country, but whose moral leadership has gone far beyond his own country for more than 40 years. A great American, as well as the President of Ireland, President-elect.